I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
I'm here tonight to announce my intention to seek the Republican nomination for President of the United States.
Authorities searched the remnants of the American Airlines DC-10 that crashed in Chicago yesterday, trying to find the cause of the worst air disaster in the history of the United States.
The Seattle Supersonics have won the NBA World Championship Series.
The tri-state at this hour undoubtedly is still shocked over the chain of events that took place at Cincinnati's Riverfront Coliseum.
In the stampede, 11 people were killed, 8 others seriously injured. Rock music fans everywhere were shocked.
This is the Decibel Geek Podcast with Aaron Camaro and Chris Sinzak.
All right, welcome back once again. Yes, indeed, it is the Decibel Geek Podcast. I am Aaron Camaro, joined as always by Chris Sinzak.
How's it going, dude?
It's going great, man. Here we are, episode number 79.
And this was a pure coincidence today on why we wound up doing a year in review on 1979.
Right.
Episode 79.
We had already decided on the subject and that we were going to do another year in review because they're always so popular and everybody loves them so much. And we said, you know, what one should we do? And I let Chris pick this time and he picked 79.
Mm-hmm.
And it just so happened that, you know, like a week or so ago, we realized how the stars have aligned for this.
Now, next week when it's episode 80 and we're on part 2 of 1979...
It won't, yeah.
The stars won't be aligned, but we hope you'll stick around and enjoy us.
Yes, but today the stars are definitely aligned for us here.
Yeah, so before we head back into time, we've got to do a little business first. We've got to get Geek of the Week, and I'm excited to announce the Geek of the Week this week.
Yeah?
This was a comment left by a listener on our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/decibelgeek.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of the, and we get great feedback from you guys all the time. But this one stuck out as one of the nicer pieces of feedback we've gotten. So this guy had recently got into the show, and let me read what he wrote. He says, his name is Scott Patton. That's who Geek of the Week is this year. Or this year.
Week.
This week. Ugh. It's been a long week for me. I'm sorry. Geek of the Year. He says, I love this podcast. I originally missed most of the music of the early 90s living up in the Rockies and ignoring all pop culture, so you guys are getting me caught up in that entire era.
Nice.
I've learned more than I ever thought I wanted to know about Kiss, and I'm actually enjoying the hell out of it.
Right on.
I'm also getting a firmer appreciation for Anthrax, whom I saw in the early 80s but never really listened to much.
Hmm.
If you guys motivate one person to listen to Sad Wings of Destiny or Sabbath Sabotage for the first time, you've brought the world's consciousness to a higher level.
Right on.
Fine work, gentlemen. Keep up the great work. We are listening.
And we know you're listening, and you guys are listening, and you're getting involved on the Facebook page, and everybody's having a good time enjoying the conversation.
Yeah.
You know, the whole idea, we're creating a local music scene with a worldwide audience, and you guys are on the case with us on Facebook, on Twitter, you know, on the website, www.decibelgeek.com. And everywhere you guys can express your heavy metalness with the Decibel Geek Podcast, and you're more than welcome to it.
Yeah, we really love hearing from all of you.
We really do. It's great. Good, bad, or otherwise, we love it.
And most of the time, it's good.
Right.
Like, you know, hopefully we'll keep our streak alive.
After all, we are bringing the world's consciousness to a higher level.
Yeah, my head swelled pretty big after reading that, so I was
very
happy.
Cool.
To.
Very cool. We appreciate it.
Scott Patton, you are the Geek of the Week.
Enjoy.
So, all right, well, 1979, let's not beat around the bush. Let's... some facts about 1979.
Okay.
The average cost of a new house in 1979 was $58,100.
Wow. Not bad.
Not bad at all. Average income per year, $17,500.
So, you know, not too much different than today, huh?
Yeah. I make a little bit more than that.
The way things are going.
cost of a gallon of gas, 86 cents.
Damn.
And people were complaining back then about high gas prices.
How nice.
And a Sony Walkman you could get for $200.
Right. This is cutting-edge technology in 1979.
Yeah. And
as a matter of fact, in 1979 is the first time a compact disc is ever, you know, released. It's a
really?
Yeah, let me check my notes one time. I actually got a couple of notes here put together, and I do have this. Sony and Philips actually put together a joint task force of engineers to come up with a CD. It's based off Laserdisc technology, and as we all know, it would eventually eradicate the cassette.
Yeah, it would. I still miss cassettes, so I liked them.
Yeah, cassettes were cool, you know, but CDs were great. You know, you didn't have to fast forward or rewind or, you wanted to get to a certain song, you didn't have to sit and say, right there.
Click. Right.
Nope, not yet. Fast forward a little. Oh, now I missed it. Got to rewind a little bit, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
That sucked.
But I was doing research for this, and I found a thing on YouTube, and I might play a little bit of it on part two of this. But a report from Britain about a guy reporting about how amazing this amazing technology that these scientists in Britain are working on, that where you can use your phone outdoors and you can walk around with your phone.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just amazing watching how, you know, how fascinated they were that they could possibly do this.
And it's amazing. Like, 1979 is a magical, mystical time.
So, and it was a very transitional period.
Not for hard rock.
I was going to say, for hard rock and metal things and rock in general, things were changing quite a bit around 79. It was, as typically, you can always point to the beginning and end of decades when things really start shifting a lot.
Right.
And this was no exception. You had basically... Because all through the 60s and 70s, rock was rock, and rock covered so many different bands.
Right.
But towards the end of the 70s and end of the 80s, this is when everything started splitting into sub-genres. Everybody liked to label things different things.
Sure, you had like punk rock and new wave, and you know, even that's kind of funny coming in 79, because a lot of the lines between punk rock and new wave get blurred.
Push him out. That's not my cat.
You don't belong in here. You're the wrong cat. Get.
We're totally keeping this. All right, let's go ahead and go behind the curtain. We have my windows open here at the Decibel Geek Studios, otherwise known as my house, and we're painting the walls. So in order to keep Aaron and I from
you pointed it out.
In order to keep Aaron and I from choking to death on noxious fumes from paint, I've had to keep the windows open. I don't have a screen in this window. So I'm sorry, we'll get back to 79 in a minute. A cat that's a friend of my cat, who's an indoor cat, decided he was going to jump into the window, and he did, and it looks like my cat, so I think Aaron initially thought it was mine.
I didn't even see the cat until you said something.
And I'm like, push him out the window.
I turned and looked, and all of a sudden there's this cat sitting right in front of me.
Okay, well...
It had teeth and claws, man.
Peter Chris just jumped through my window, but all right. Nice. All right, so
get out of here.
Let's get back to what were we talking about?
It was Eric Singer. That's why I said you're the wrong cat.
Oh, gosh.
Go.
Yeah, I can't wait for the emails for that.
Just kidding. I love Eric Singer.
I do, too. All right, so, yeah, music was changing. New wave, new romantics, all that. Disco was on its way out. We'll get to that a little later.
Right.
There was a lot of stuff going on. So, kind of a confusing time, but that's part of why I picked this year, because it's interesting to hear who these bands are and what they became or what they would become later on. So,
right. Well, kicking it all off on January 9th, there's a huge concert held by the United Nations General Assembly, and here's a taste of the bands that are hot and popping in 79.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about who was all there? ABBA, Donna Summers, Rod Stewart, Earth, Wind, and Fire.
The Bee Gees.
Yeah, all these bands. That's what's huge right now in 1979.
Poppy stuff.
It's a tough year for hard rock and heavy metal.
So we're going to play stuff by the Bee Gees and ABBA and Donna Summer, right?
Maybe some Michael Bolton, but other than that,
we'll
see. Okay. We'll see.
All right.
So as we're saying, a lot of punk rock, a lot of new wave, and a lot of influence from other countries, as we're about to find out.
Yep.
You know, this was one that if you go back in the archives and listen, I actually promised to listen to this. I wanted to check it out because we did, I think, a covers episode where we played the Anthrax version of this. And, you know, you knew who Joe Jackson was, but I sure didn't. So I wanted to go back and check it out. That sucker's trying to get into my truck. I'm going to have to go beat him.
Okay, we're going to pause recording for just a second. Okay, and we're back. Aaron did not kill the cat.
Kill the cat. I just chased it out of there.
This cat,
that's crazy.
This is the cat he chased out of the house a minute ago, or out of the window, and the cat jumped in the cab of Aaron's truck and looked like he was going to make a deposit. So
I'm
going
to have to make a call to somebody. This cat's been following me around for weeks.
So we now know the location of Grumpy Cat. So
jeez.
He's at my house.
So where were we? Oh, yeah, talking about Anthrax, doing the cover of Joe Jackson's. I'm talking about the song Got the Time.
Right.
And, you know, is it punk rock? Is it new wave? I don't know.
I call it like alt rock, I guess.
Yeah, because in 79, like I said, the lines are pretty blurred, you know, from England, Joe Jackson. The guy doesn't like the Anthrax cover. He calls it clumsy and kind of lumpin'.
Well,
I guess that's, I don't know what lumpin' means.
I don't know how seriously we should take Michael Jackson's father.
Wrong Joe Jackson.
Oh, it's a different guy.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was Joe Jackson.
It ain't slapping Joe Jackson.
Slapping Joe Jackson. So he doesn't
white guy from England.
So he doesn't like the Anthrax version.
No.
Well, that doesn't surprise me. Most of his stuff is nothing like Anthrax.
Right. A lot of saxophones and different horned.
But I thank him for giving us this version for Anthrax to cover.
Yeah.
Here it is. My buddy's dad, when he used to hear us playing the Anthrax version,
yeah,
he thought he was saying "Chicken in My Head." He's like, "What the hell's that Chicken in My Head song?"
I mean, it's a cool song, and that's their debut album. I look sharp, but
yeah,
I'll take Anthrax any day.
I will too,
any day of the week.
Here's one. This is interesting. A punk band from England, called Generation X, put out an album called Valley of the Dolls in 1979. This was their second album, produced by Ian Hunter, reached number 11 on the charts. But the most notable thing for us Americans is Billy Idol was the singer of this group.
That's right.
So it's kind of interesting to check this out. So this is more, you know, something to check out. This is the Valley of the Dolls album. This is King Rocker by Generation X. Jailhouse Rocker, who's straight out of Memphis. And that's Billy Idol in the 70s.
It's like punk rock 70s Billy Idol.
Almost kind of rockabilly-ish, too.
Right. Guitarist James Stevenson would go on in 1994 to be a live extra guitarist for the Cults World Tour.
Really?
Yeah, good guitar player. And, you know, Billy Idol will end up releasing his solo album in 82 and No More Generation X. Whole lot of Billy Idol.
Yeah.
Whole lot of Billy Idol.
A lot in the 80s.
So if you're listening from 1979, there's a lot of Billy Idol in your future.
Yeah, there is.
we got any other bands not from America?
Yeah, another one is Accept put out their first album.
Oh, yeah, they're
from Germany. In 1979, Germany. And this is well before Balls to the Wall came out.
From the Deutschland.
So they were relatively unknown at this time.
Right.
And it's a self-titled debut album, and guitarist Wolf Hoffman remembered that the debut was simply just a collection of the songs that they had worked up during their formative years with no real focus. And he's like, we were just playing the songs we'd always played, and it was material that had gathered up over the first few months and years of our existence. Well,
that's
as a mixture.
Kind of the way it goes a lot of times with bands with their first albums. You know, they write a bunch of songs and as they're forming and playing live and getting it together. And so, mm-hmm. obviously, what are your songs going to be for your first album? All the stuff you've written up to this point.
So
awesome album cover.
Yeah.
I love
with
it.
The chainsaw.
Yeah, it's got a chick with a giant chainsaw on the cover.
So
very phallic. I like that.
This is a definitely a less edgy version of Accept. This is a song called Tired of Me.
Say you were there.
Not bad.
Almost sounds like King Diamond on the background vocals.
Kind of does, but, you know, I like the vocalist in that. I mean, you really Udo. Feel the guy's emotion in it. You know, he's really a powerful singer, that
yeah,
guy.
Yeah, that's Udo.
Heck yeah.
Who went on to scream his head off in a lot of other stuff.
Right.
So, yeah, that's Accept. And they're not super proud of that album, but, you know, there's some good stuff on there.
Sure, worth checking out.
Yeah.
We got any bands from America yet?
Not yet.
Not yet. Well, we're working our way through January.
There was stuff that came out by American bands.
Right.
But, yeah, there was a lot of... People were fascinated with European bands but during this time. Another one was UFO.
Yeah, yeah, UFO, great band from England.
Yeah, and they put out the Strangers in the Night live album, which we don't typically play live albums during these shows, but this is listed by a lot of people as like one... If not one of the greatest albums of all
time.
Yeah,
I do remember reading an article that where Slash was interviewed, and he said this was his absolute number one, without a doubt, best live album he ever heard.
Right, and you know, it was this was the last concert recording they did with Michael Schenker before the reunion they did in '93.
Right, and a lot of bands on live albums will go back and touch a lot of things up. But you were telling me something really interesting.
Yeah,
about
they
this.
They left his tracks alone. He was gone, so he wasn't around to overdub them, and he himself has said he's not happy with his takes, but, I mean, Michael Schenker's an amazing player.
Yeah, it's his playing on this live album is just killer, and you can listen to it and know in your heart that's exactly the way it was played that night.
Yeah, so check this out. This is a little bit of Dr. Doctor off Strangers in the Night.
Good stuff.
Yeah, I love that album.
Yeah, I'd like to thank our good friend of the show, Eddie Trunk, for turning me on to UFO.
Probably turned a lot of people on to UFO.
Yeah,
he
I
talks
mean,
about
I
them
was
constantly.
I was always aware of them, but I never really listened to them, never really gave them a chance, but I like UFO quite a bit.
Yeah, highly underrated band. Would love to see them come to Nashville.
That would be pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Rounding out January, the Super Bowl. Super Bowl in 1979. The Pittsburgh Steelers defeat the Dallas Cowboys 35-31. But as good as the game was, it was the lead-up to the game and all the smack-talking going on.
Yeah, they didn't like each other.
Cowboys linebacker Thomas Henderson would be quoted as saying Terry Bradshaw couldn't spell cat if you spotted him the C and the A. It was very personal. It was a huge game because it was the first time a team would go on to win that many consecutive Super Bowls.
Yeah.
You know, so it was really on the line, and it was Bradshaw versus Staubach. And, you know, you think about today's halftime shows and how it's all, you know, media-orientated with whatever's popular, what's
a huge deal.
Yeah. In 79, the halftime show was a collection of various Caribbean bands
in
Carnival. A salute to the Caribbean.
Oh, good Lord. That reminds me in the 80s. Even during the 80s, they had like 2 years in a row they did Up With People for the sound for the halftime show.
Nice.
Yeah. It wasn't this big a deal back in those days.
So. Right.
Well let's go into February.
Yeah, that takes us out of January into February. And guess what?
Yeah.
Another band, not from the United States. I'm talking about Germany's favorite sons. The Scorpions.
Yeah.
And what an album they come out with, you know. And I'll tell you the truth. I'm not a huge Scorpions fan. I'm not a fan of a lot of the stuff they've done. But this album is killer. In 1979, they come out with Love Drive. Now, it's the first album with Matthias Jabs on it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think most Scorpion fans, myself included, would consider that the quintessential Scorpions lineup.
It's a great lineup, and it's a great album cover,
Yeah, the album cover is awesome. You know, if anybody, if you haven't seen it, it's a man and a woman in the back seat of a car. They're dressed all fancy. You know, they're up-class people, you know, and she's got her boob sticking out. You know, her breast is exposed, and his hand is stuck to it with bubble gum.
Right.
What the hell's up with that?
I don't know. It's just, it's one that makes you just look at it.
But, of course, they said back then if you flip the cover around on the backside, you'd get the full picture without the bubble gum.
Right.
Full booby. The way they like it in Deutschland.
Right.
In America, in 1979, not so
we
much.
We were more uptight.
It's pretty much banned just about everywhere in the United States. We get stuck with boring black with a blue scorpion and the red red logo on it.
Exactly.
And they had such an awesome album cover, and we just couldn't, I don't know. We're uptight in 79. But talk about great music, some of the heaviest stuff Scorpions ever did. Here's a nice taste of that, a tune called Another Piece of Meat. See, that's some heavy Scorpions right there, huh?
Yeah, I wish they had kept doing some of that stuff into the 80s.
That's the great stuff right there. I think if somebody said, you know, what Scorpions album should I listen to, I think I'd tell them Love Driver every time. I mean, I know everybody will dispute that, but, you know, that's what the Facebook page is for.
Crazy world with Wind of Change.
Yeah, all that. Yeah.
Tease me, please me.
Yeah. I like the riff in that song, though. That's
yeah,
cool.
There's some, I mean, for commercial rock, they're good. But, yeah, that Love Drive album, it stands
very
up there.
Very good stuff.
Yeah.
Let's see. Also in February 79, well, the Sex Pistols come out with their movie, The Great Rock and Roll Swindle, and with it the soundtrack. But is it really the Sex Pistols? Uh-uh. Not really at all. They basically, what they do, any Johnny Rotten you hear on there was his demo tape, and then the other band members went in and reworked the music to fit his.
Because they were so dysfunctional?
Yeah, it was over. I mean, Johnny Rotten quit in 78.
Right.
You know, they only formed in 75. They burned fast.
Well,
you know, yeah, they burned hard and fast, you know. But, of course, in 79, they come out with that. And, you know, here's a little taste that's going to tie in for a big news story in a big time in punk rock. Off of that album, the Great Rock and Roll Swindle soundtrack, is a tune called Something Else. And it's with Sid Vicious on vocals. And we're going to talk about Sid Vicious, but go ahead and check this out quick. You know, and Sid Vicious over the years has kind of become like the iconic picture of punk rock in the 70s, you know. And it wasn't that he was a great singer, as
no,
you can hear.
Not at all.
And it sure wasn't because he was a great bass player.
Nope.
Because he could barely play the bass, according to anybody that knew the guy or listened to the Sex Pistols. But he got it. He understood the gimmick of being a punk rocker.
He lived the life.
And he lived the life to the hilt, you know.
Until it killed him.
It made him legit, you know. So in 1979, after, it's a whole crazy story with Sid Vicious.
Yeah.
Charged with murder of Nancy Spungen, and his crazy girlfriend. Courtney Love-ish girlfriend. You know, and there's a lot of debate over who actually stabbed her, you know, but, you know, that's a whole long story for maybe a whole entire episode.
Watch the Filth and the Fury movie.
Right.
It'll give you the whole story.
Totally. It's pretty wild. 22 days later after that, Sid Vicious tries to kill himself. He's then arrested on December 9th in 78, sentenced to 55 days at Rikers Island. Not a nice
place
to be. No. Probably not in 79. Pretty scary. On February 2nd in 79, Sid makes bail finally. later on that day or the next day, I think it was.
This is what was reported.
Rock star Sid Vicious is dead after taking an overdose of heroin last night. Police say his death was an accident. Vicious, real name John Simon Ritchie, left a New York prison only yesterday. He was released on $50,000 bail, charged with the murder of his girlfriend Nancy Spungen last October. His mother met him at the prison gates. Vicious went to a party to celebrate his release. Then, according to police, he took the heroin. He'd been having treatment to give up his addiction. Apparently last night's dose was too potent.
Well, and that's what happens when your whole mission in life is to be dead by 25.
Yeah, mission accomplished.
Mission accomplished. Now, where are the Sex Pistols from? England.
England.
1979.
We still haven't hit America yet.
Right. We're getting there, though.
We're going to do it now.
Good.
Okay.
It's about time. Right. There was American music coming out in rock and roll in 79.
And, you know, we always like to take pride in playing stuff that you may not have heard, and this is one, and I've had this album on vinyl for years, and I like this band, but definitely don't get enough credit, and they should have been bigger than they were. I'm talking about a band called Angel, who was also on, I believe they were on the Casablanca
yes,
label.
Yes, they were.
I think they were groomed by Billy Coyne, just like Kiss
Were they discovered by Gene Simmons?
They may have been. I'm not totally sure.
I know he had a hand in something with Angel.
Yeah, they had the members, the Greg Giffria, I think is how you say his name, Punky Meadows was in the band. And, you know, they were...
I think it's Giffria.
Or maybe Giffria.
I don't know.
I
remember he had a band just called Giffria. Right. I don't know if we're saying it right.
Not the greatest band name. But they put out...
It's not a good name if you can't pronounce it. Right.
Not for me. They put out a number of albums, but they never really kind of made it over the hill. But... I had this album, and it's called Sinful. It was originally titled Bad Publicity, and a few copies of it and with the different title and different cover were sold before they were replaced and changed it to Sinful. I guess having an album called Bad Publicity is, well, it's bad publicity.
Yeah, getting what you asked for.
So, yeah, but this song is called Wild and Hot, and the way I like to describe this song is this is the greatest Cheap Trick song that Cheap Trick never did.
Doctors define modern rock disorder as a sudden, intense drop in musical taste affecting all facets of the victim's lives and the lives of those around them. Over 20 million Americans suffer. Do you? The Decibel Geek Podcast offers new hope. The Decibel Geek Podcast, the only podcast proven effective for MRD. The Decibel Geek Podcast is not for everyone. People wearing skinny jeans that listen to Grizzly Bear, Vampire Weekend, and Animal Collective should not listen to the Decibel Geek Podcast. In placebo-controlled clinical studies, effects of the Decibel Geek Podcast were proven to counteract and defeat the effects of MRD in a majority of patients. Though some experiences may differ, side effects were minimal and resulted in the propensity to ask for and receive the best, a non-ironic appreciation for vinyl, and increased testosterone. MRD hurts. The Decibel Geek Podcast can help. Visit www.decibelgeek.com to begin the road to recovery.
Listen to the Decibel Geek Podcast on your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones with Stitcher. Stitcher's smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
Frank, it was an accident at the Three Mile Island nuclear power plant. A cooling pump broke down, and the plant did just what it was supposed to do, shut itself off. But not before some radioactivity had escaped.
All right, we're back with the Decibel Geek Podcast. In 1975, or 9, yeah, what year is it? 1979, a little rockin' review for you today.
Yeah, that was the little clip about the Three Mile Island nuclear disaster.
Scary stuff. You know, we shouldn't never mess with any nuclear stuff. It's scary.
You gotta be careful.
Yeah, and so, Van Halen too, you know?
Huge album.
Handle that with care as well.
Yeah, we couldn't ignore that album. Big album for 1979.
Yeah, awesome album. I mean, Van Halen, their second release, it's an awesome album collection of songs. We've heard them all a million times. It's amazing stuff. We love it.
Yeah.
Recorded in 3 weeks.
Was it?
Yeah. Wow. Only took them 3 weeks to rock that one out.
Amazing. And then the new album took how many years? Not bitter or anything.
They had it all together in 79.
All right.
So, let's see. Good American band, but guess what? Back again from England. Well, here's a band that doesn't follow the trends. They do their own thing always, and we play a lot of them when we do these years in review because
they put an album out every year.
And that's what I love about them, and they're always good. You know what you're getting when you pick up an album by Motorhead. And in 1979, you were picking up Overkill.
Do you think maybe Lemmy had like the forethought and was like, you know, there's going to be this podcast that comes out so many years down the road, and they're going to do all these years in reviews, and I know how I can guarantee that right. I get played on every damn one of them.
Yep, I will keep my name in the news always, you know, by having an album out every year. Nobody can do a year in review without mentioning me now.
Exactly.
Beautiful. So. If that's the way it worked, well done, sir. Well
and,
done.
And you can listen to any Motorhead song from any period, and it all sounds the same.
And it's always going to rock. Here's another one with an awesome album cover. It's very metal. It's the logo, but it's like exploding from within. You know, it's Overkill of power. Of metal, and that's what this is. In 1979, these guys aren't playing with disco, and they're sure not new wave or punk rock. These guys are Motorhead, and they're heavy metal. Here's a taste for you. You know it, you love it. It's Damage Case. See, you just can't go wrong with Lemmy and Motorhead. That's the whole thing's an amazing album in 79. Stay Clean, Tear You Down. The title track, Overkill, is a heavy metal masterpiece.
Yeah.
And great album.
As I said, you can hear that during any era of the band, and it sounds perfect.
Exactly. So, yeah. So that brings us into April.
Yeah. Quick news story I wanted to mention from April. On April 20th, 420, no less, President Jimmy
what
Carter.
What a coincidence.
Is attacked by a swamp rabbit while fishing in his hometown of Plains, Georgia. Now, I didn't know that such thing existed as a swamp rabbit.
Well, you know, and it's one of those things where, you know, it's 1979. Sure, the president's going to get out on the boat. It's 420. He's going to smoke him a couple of doobies, you know.
Oh, that was his brother, Billy.
And, oh, yeah. Well, he's probably got Billy with him, and all of a sudden they see this thing swimming towards him. They swear it was a swamp rabbit.
A swamp rabbit.
A ginormous rabbit.
I saw that on Wikipedia, and I was like, I have to mention this, don't I?
Yeah.
Okay, Journey came out with their fifth studio album in April of 79 called Evolution. And this was produced by Roy Thomas Baker, very famous producer.
It's pretty wild to think that as big as Journey was in the 80s, that, you know, in 79, they were already up to their fifth studio album.
Yeah, because the pre-Steve Perry stuff is much different than everything that came after.
Right.
You know, Neil Sean and Greg Raleigh both came from Santana, and they came from a jam band type mentality. And they were putting out records, but they just weren't selling quite the way they wanted to.
Right.
And then all of a sudden Steve Perry shows up on the scene. And
it's like a whole different band.
Yeah.
You know, they go from being like a Yes-type band to being more like a Cheap Trick-type band where they're playing poppy singles.
Very
songs.
Melodic. Yeah. And this song's no exception. This is from Evolution. This is Do You Recall?
We were together.
I dig that. I really do.
It's not bad. You know, aptly titled album Evolution, because this is kind of what Journey would go on to become. And, you know, very successful with it.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that was the formula they laid out. And then that was before Jonathan Cain came on board. Then when Jonathan Cain joined on after Greg Raleigh left, then the ballads really got amped up a lot. So that's where Open Arms came from.
They made a lot of money off those love ballads.
Yeah. Well, I couldn't go without playing one of my new favorite bands.
I know you love this band.
I'm over the last year or so, I've been on such a Thin Lizzy kick. It's not even funny. I mean, just so much of their stuff I've really gotten into. And it's just one of those bands that I ignored during childhood because I was too wrapped up in a lot of the 80s stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So now the 70s are kind of like a new thing for me to get into. It's weird growing up a Kiss fan, you know, because as fun as it is being a Kiss fan, when you're really into them, you almost become obsessed to where you don't pay attention to other stuff, you know? So it's like now I'm kind of going back and learning about all these bands that I missed the first time.
Good deal.
So Thin Lizzy in 79 put out Black Rose, a rock legend, and this was their 9th album. They put out a lot of material. It's their most successful album.
Yeah.
It also was the first time that Gary Moore was in the band long enough to actually record with them. I mean, he had been with them in 74 and 77. I'm not sure what the story is behind that. Some of you diehard Thin Lizzy fans tell me. I don't know a lot about the history of the band, so let me know why it is that Gary Moore was in and out of the band so much. I'd be interested in knowing that. But, there's a lot of great songs on this album. It's great from start to finish, but this is a song called Toughest Street in Town.
I like that.
Yeah, that's great stuff.
That's really good.
That's good. Also, real quick, those of you that are into Thin Lizzy, I don't know, and I'm not a purist, obviously, because I'm just new getting into them. Some of the remaining members of the band are doing a new project called Black Star Writers, but it's very much a Thin Lizzy type project, and they released a clip for the first song off of it, the new album.
Yeah.
Sounds a lot like old school Thin Lizzy.
That's
really
cool.
Good.
Definitely worth checking out.
Yeah, called Bound for Glory. And I'm happy that they're not using the Thin Lizzy name. They're trying to respect that.
Yeah, I can respect that too.
Yeah.
A lot of bands that should do that don't. So kudos to them.
Say we're not getting into that, are we?
Nah, not tonight. We're too busy talking about 1979. And I'll tell you, as tough it was for hard rock music in 1979, they were coming out with some pretty killer movies.
Sure.
Give you the quick rundown of the top 10 movies in 1979. At number 10, the James Bond movie Moonraker.
That was
a good one. Number 9, The Jerk. With Steve.
That's a great one. Yeah.
I love that movie, The Jerk. Number 8, 10. Remember that? Bo Derek?
I remember the cover of the VHS. Yeah, I remember that.
The chick with the blonde
hair.
I don't know that I ever saw
the movie. I do remember seeing the cover for it.
I remember seeing pictures of her and posters and magazines and just being like, wow. I mean, I think she wins the award as hottest chick of 1979. It's got to be Bo Derek.
Yeah.
Number 7, The Muppet Movie.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
I remember that movie.
I mean, we were little kids, but I definitely remember that.
Yeah.
Number 6, Alien.
Oh, yeah.
You know, in retrospect, what an awesome movie.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a huge one that year. Number 5, Star Trek, the motion picture.
Yeah.
They first come out with their first Star Trek movie. You heard a clip of it at the top of the show at number 4, Apocalypse Now.
Yeah, that's the smell of napalm in the morning.
Yeah. Rocky 2 comes in at number 3. At number 2, the Amityville Horror.
Oh, wow.
And number 1, Kramer versus Kramer.
Ugh.
Yeah, see, that's funny to me. I mean, that list to me is awesome all the way up
to number one. Yeah.
Some other things to mention, honorable mention movies, Meatballs with Bill Murray.
There's a timeless
classic.
I
love that one. That's a great movie. The Black Stallion comes out.
I remember that.
The Who movie, The Kids Are All Right.
Yep.
Rock and Roll High School with the Ramones.
Oh, yeah.
Gotta love that. That had to take place in Wisconsin. It's Vince Lombardi High School.
Oh, well,
that,
then, yeah.
That tells me it's got to be, it had to have taken place in Green Bay, right? Monty Python comes out with Life of Brian.
A great movie.
Mad Max.
Oh, yeah.
I love Mad Max when I was a kid. Oh, I love
Mad
that
Max
movie.
And the Road Warrior. I remember both of them. Yeah.
I remember Scavenger Hunt.
Mm-mm. What is that?
That's, you should check that out. That was one of those campy late 70s comedies, too, kind of along the lines of Meatballs and The Jerk and stuff like that. Phantasm. Remember the crazy silver ball?
Oh, yeah, the tall man, yeah.
Yeah, and in 1979, production begins on The Empire Strikes Back. Star Wars mania running wild in 1979.
The best Star Wars movie.
I agree with that, yeah. 100%. So those are your movies in 1979. Oh, and also Caligula.
Caligula.
You ever seen Caligula?
No.
Oh, my God.
I know the story enough to know, but who's in that?
It was a movie. I think it was the first movie that was rated X, if I'm not mistaken, because it
probably was.
I think it was produced by either Hustler or Penthouse. It's got Malcolm McDowell in it, and it's the most insane movie ever made.
I'll have to check that
out, then. So there you go. That's, I'm telling you, the most insane movie
I'll
ever
Netflix
made.
I'll Netflix it.
Caligula.
Okay, well, one more song before we go to the next break. We always love to talk about Kiss, so this is another Kiss-related band that came out in 1979.
It is 79, after all.
Yeah. Former guest on the show for one of the Vinnie Vincent specials, Hirsch Gardner, was in a band called New England back in 1979. And they were discovered by Billy Coyne. So Billy Coyne was, boy, he was really scouting talent back
then.
Yeah,
he was. I mean, that I remember reading in Chris Lent's book about this time, you know, and how big Kiss is and how much money's coming in, and how Billy Coyne's now all of a sudden he's got the big office and he's got all these bands under his belt, and New England's one of them.
Yeah, he was going out trying to find the next big thing. They put out a self-titled debut album, and the album was produced by Paul Stanley and Mike Stone, who did a lot of Queen stuff. So they had, you know, big names on here. They opened for Kiss during the Dynasty Tour. And let me give you guys a sneak peek. In a couple of weeks, you're going to hear some interesting stories about the Kiss Dynasty Tour. That's all I'm going to say. With a special guest. So start trying to figure out who it is.
Tease.
Yeah. They opened for Kiss on the Dynasty Tour. And as I mentioned, Hirsch, the drummer, was on the show with us talking about Vinnie Vincent. And the reason for that is after New England dissolved, after a couple more albums, a couple other members of the band, Gary Shea and Jimmy Waldo, they joined a band called Alcatraz that some of you have certainly heard of.
Right.
And Hirsch started working with Vinnie Vincent right before he got together with Kiss. And some of the stuff that Hirsch did with Vinnie wound up on the Vinnie Vincent Invasion album. So, and
you are a walking Kiss-cyclopedia.
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 You just coined a new term.
I better go trademark that fast.
Yeah, before
too late.
Gene got
it's
it.
It's already gone.
Vinny got it. But, yeah, so New England put out their self-titled debut, and this is probably the biggest hit off of that album. This was Don't Ever Want to Lose You.
Of the Decibel Geek Army?
You slimy scumbag, get on your face and give me 25.
Join us on our fan page at facebook.com/DecibelGeek.
Broadcasting live from Lenny's Mole, you're listening to the Decibel Geek Podcast.
Exactly what
What year in review would it be without the rod?
Wow. Yeah, you're listening to the Decibel Geek Podcast, and yes, we do think you're sexy. We just wanted to tell you.
Yeah. Every time I hear Rod Stewart, I think of a trip I took with a friend and his family when I was in high school, and they played Rod Stewart cassettes most of the way down. And
oh, wow.
My best friend constantly complaining, do we have to listen to the Rod the whole way to Florida?
The Rod, but you can't deny him in 1979. It's huge. The,
yeah.
The Rod is huge in 79.
And visiting the hospital. But let's, not get into rumors. Real quick, want to mention the phone number that we have.
Yeah, we've got our own little hotline set up for you. Of course, you know it if you've listened before. 540-DB-GEEK-1, or it's 540-324-3551. And we've been talking about, you know, we like to do these rock and review shows for you, you know, years in review. And we always like to take suggestions. So why don't you call that number and tell us what year we should do next and why, you know, and do your homework, because we've already done some years. So we don't want to hear no repeats.
Yeah. For any of, and also for any of you smart asses that are going to call in and say, you should do 1926, then, you know, fuck off in advance. So, but yeah.
Don't tempt us.
Yeah. Something. No, we're not doing that. I want to get some of our listeners. Yeah, so, all right, what month are we going into now?
Let's see, where are we? Oh, we're going into May.
Into May, wow.
Well, here we go. Here's a big rock and roll news story coming at you. It's a bird? No. It's a plane? No, it's 1979. It's Super Kiss.
Yeah, Kiss went full force into family entertainment in 1979.
Man.
Of course, I guess Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park the year before didn't help, but they really tried to launch themselves as a real brand in 1979 with the whole Super Kiss concept, with flashy new costumes, a lot more color.
Yeah, they're coming back off the solo albums, reuniting.
Well, yeah, and
three out of the four anyway.
Right, and you know, I was talking to Aaron, you know, after we did an interview the other night with somebody about how kind of an interesting juxtaposition. That's a big word, like gymnasium.
Mm-hmm.
With how Kiss had one of their most massive hits with I Was Made for Loving You in 79 with from the Dynasty album, yet at the same time a lot of their diehard fan base was like, I'm done.
Right, exactly. You know, and I can attest to that because my Uncle Bruce was a big Kiss fan, and when he, you know, he liked the young, you know, hard-edged, hard-rock Kiss, you know, and I agree with that 100%. Mm-hmm. But him living through it at this age, being older, you know, saw how Kiss was changing and was like, and did get to the point where it's like, that's for little kids now. You know, that's not for me anymore.
Right.
And you know what? It's kind of understandable.
Yeah. But, you know, as somebody who got into the band in the 80s, so it's interesting to go back in time and listen to the stuff.
Yeah, there's still some damn good hard rock songs on this album.
One of the things I love about Kiss is they did try so many things, because it gives you a variety. There's always something for any mood with Kiss that you can listen to.
Right.
And so Dynasty comes out in May of 79, produced by Vinnie Poncia, who did Peter Criss's 78 solo album, also produced Ringo Starr, comes from a more commercial background.
Right. It's kind of strange to me that, you know, it seems like Vinnie Poncia coming in would be like a Peter Criss choice, but yet Peter Criss doesn't even play on the album.
But yeah, because
other than Dirty Lovin' or Dirty Livin'.
I think the story goes that Peter pushed for Vinnie to be on the album, was like, I'll quit the band if you don't put Vinnie on the album. And Gene and Paul were like, okay, fine, we'll do it. But I think they wanted to tap into his commercial sensibilities.
Anyway.
And the weird irony is that Vinnie Poncia comes in and, from what the story goes, didn't think Peter was up to snuff to play on their album.
Yeah.
So they got Anton Figg to come on board and play drums.
Who's more than up to snuff.
Oh, great.
Anytime, anywhere.
Yeah. I mean, just watch him every night on David Letterman. The guy's an amazing drummer. So it was a popular direction for Kiss. They did, as I said, with I Was Made for Loving You, there's some disco-inspired stuff on here.
Give them credit. They did it well.
They did. And
it was a huge hit.
But I wanted to play kind of an oddball choice off of Dynasty. This is a track that Gene did, and the song is inspired by Howard Marks, their business manager, was making fun of Gene and how he talks about himself all the time with his huge ego. Like, what is my charisma? What is it that makes me so awesome, basically?
Yeah.
And Gene was like,
tell me.
And he was laughing at Gene, and Gene's like, no, that's a great idea for a song.
Oh, Lord.
So here's Kiss with Charisma.
Is it my money or my name?
One of only a handful of Gene's songs on this album. He wasn't as heavily involved. I think Diana Ross or Cher may have had something to do with that.
Yeah, he was a little distracted in 1979. He's hanging out in the clubs and discotheques.
This is the early days of him going Hollywood, really.
You know, and here's something else I'll say about Dynasty and even the Unmasked album that would be forthcoming. You know, when you talk about Kiss drummers, you talk about Peter Criss, you talk about Eric Carr, you talk about Eric Singer. Mm-hmm. But, you know, a lot of times because he wasn't an official member of the band, Anton Figg kind of gets left out of that. But, you know, even on that track, you can hear the power in the drumming. And, you know, you got to put Anton Figg right up there with the best Kiss drummers of them all, because Anton Figg brought a lot to those albums. And, you know, the casual fan knows Dynasty as the disco Kiss album. But there's some fantastic, you better patent that real quick. Oh, it's gone. Yeah. It's gone already. Gene got it. You know, there's with Ace Frehley, you know, there's some amazing guitar playing. And there's a guy that resisted the disco and the kiddie band stuff. Ace Frehley releases and plays and performs some amazing stuff on Dynasty.
Yeah, he's a big part of that album. Yeah. And I think his solo album kind of helped bring people, you know,
getting a little more confidence.
Yeah, so he started writing more. Of course, they created a monster then, because then he's like, "Well, I don't need you guys."
Right.
So
I'm ready for a new Ace Frehley album.
Yeah, me too.
By the way,
well, about 12 more years, you should get one.
Man, I hope not.
But one band that is sorely overlooked is from 1979 is Riot, who I didn't know a lot about. The only thing I really remember of Riot was, going back to Kiss, I had one of those Japanese Music Life magazines from the Japanese tour they did.
Yeah.
And Riot is pictured, they were the opening act, I guess. So there's a number of pictures of Riot hanging out with Kiss backstage. But I never knew a lot about them. I know that I started checking them out more last year because the guitarist Mark Reale passed away last year. And Eddie Trunk had, you know, done a lot of tributes to him. And so I was like, I'm going to go check into some of their stuff. And so for this episode, I was like, well, they put out this album called Narita in 1979. It's their second album. And the album cover is really weird. It looks like some kind of animal head over on the top of a sumo wrestler's body holding a sickle in a graveyard of skulls while like a Japanese bomber plane flies overhead.
Album covers in the 70s were awesome.
Well,
except for Dynasty.
There was a lot of drug use in the 70s, so I think we can put two and two together there.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, so that
drugs equals artistic.
Apparently.
It's creativity. It's a stimulant.
Or they thought it did. But I love this. This sounds kind of old school Aerosmith-ish to me. So this is Riot with Do It Up.
I like that.
Kicks ass, doesn't it?
I never really listened to Riot before, but that makes me want to go listen to more.
Yeah, I'm going
to
check out more. And as we always mention, we put the Amazon store links to all these artists in the show notes. So if you like anything you hear, go on there and buy some of the stuff, folks.
Absolutely. We encourage you to support these bands and these artists that we all love so much. You know, we're here celebrating this music, so, you know, support them in any way you can. Mm-hmm. We're rocking through May. There's a lot of good bands coming out at this time in 79. Man, we've had four American bands in a row.
Yeah.
Nice. This is number four right here, and it don't get more American than this. I'm talking about good old Uncle Ted Nugent.
Totally uncontroversial.
Uncontroversial. All this guy wants to do is rock and roll in 1979, and he does it very well. This is his fifth studio album since splitting up the Amboy Dukes in 75. And in 79, comes out with State of Shock. Mm-hmm. The album, it's got just stellar guitar work. The whole thing, just through and through. It's Ted Nugent the way you love him. The way, you know, not all the other political BS aside, just kicking ass and rock and rolling. Great songs off this album. Bite Down Hard.
Yeah.
The title track, State of Shock. And the single was I Want to Tell You, which was a Beatles cover.
No, I don't think I've even heard that
Very
one.
Interesting stuff, but I'm not going to play that for you. This is a hard rocker right here. It's called Paralyzed.
I'm on a mission of mercy. I got to testify. You lost your emotions. You are paralyzed.
Ted.
The Motor City Madman, rocking it out in 1979. You know, you talk about, you know, things that are all-American, you know, like Ted Nugent. You know, Ted Nugent's all-American. You know what else is all-American? Mm. McDonald's.
Yeah.
You know, and McDonald's, they're smart. You know, even way back in 1979, they say, how can we get little kids to just want to come here? You know, any little kid you know, they want to go to McDonald's. Where do you want to eat? I want to eat at McDonald's. Why do you want to go to McDonald's? Because they give you a toy with your food.
Right.
And where did this genius in marketing come into play? In 1979,
yep.
With the introduction of the Happy Meal.
Yep, on June 1st, 1979, the first Happy Meal was sold.
That's right. And in related news, obesity begins to be recorded.
Exactly.
In shortly a few years later
I'm
than
sure
that.
There's no connection at all. But yeah, how can we get little kids to start eating crap food?
Right, exactly. Oh, let's lure them in with crappy little plastic toys.
Exactly.
Aye, aye, aye. Yeah. 1979. Gotta love it. Got more rock music coming up for you. We're coming to the end of part one of 1979. I know everyone's going to say, oh, man, you know, you guys didn't, you missed some stuff. You didn't get to. Well, we always got part two coming up next week, so you guys just hang tight. I just wanted to slip this one in really quick. I know this isn't real decibel geekish. I don't know if that's the right proper terminology.
I like
it. But it is cool. It's very cool. In 1979, we got a little band called Paul McCartney and Wings. Paul McCartney, known from a little band called The Beatles.
Yeah.
Everybody knows The Beatles. You think, you know, oh, no. These guys are going to play Paul McCartney and Wings? But wait, check this out. In 1979, he comes out with an album called Back to the Egg. Mm-hmm. And it's his way of just getting back to,
the
I don't know. Yeah, he wants to get back to basic rock and roll. And what is the result is some pretty heavy stuff for Paul
for
McCartney.
Yeah,
yeah, so check this one out. It's a cool tune called Spin It On. Huh?
I love it.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, I think it's one of the best things I've ever heard him do.
I agree 100%. When we were doing the research for 79 part one, I was like, well,
it's so,
you know,
different,
like,
for him.
It's 79. It's Paul McCartney. I owe it to at least check it out.
Yeah.
You know, it is Paul McCartney. That's rock and roll royalty in my eyes. So I owe it to at least check it out. And I hear this song and I'm just like, holy shit. You know, that's Paul McCartney.
That's as punk rock as he ever got.
It's very cool. I like it a lot, you know. And if you never thought you'd hear Paul McCartney on the Decibel Geek podcast, it's now time for Michael Bolton.
Yep.
Yeah, that's right. In 1979, a band called Blackjack. And yeah, you're right. Lead singer, Michael Bolton.
Yep.
Ladies man.
With
Fabio of rock.
Yep, with former guest of the Decibel Geek podcast, Bruce Kulick, on the guitar.
And his sexy, sexy mustache.
His porn stash.
Oh, it's a, the most beautiful mustache I've ever. It's the Hostetler before the Hostetler. What a mustache.
Well, calm down. Don't get too worked up over
it. I would. I'm thinking about growing one like that. And you can double it as a broom.
Yeah.
But, you know, yep, you're right. Bruce Kulick and Michael Bolton team up as a band called Blackjack, you know, and there's no doubt about it. This is Michael Bolton singing.
Another oddball Kiss connection.
Yeah.
The bassist was Sandy Gennaro.
Right.
Who actually played bass on some of the tracks on Creatures of the Night.
Really?
Yeah.
Very weird.
Yeah.
I guess we'll maybe...
Everything comes back to Kiss.
Maybe in an upcoming episode we can talk about other people that have played bass with Kiss that went uncredited.
Yeah, there's a handful of them.
We'll see. Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
So here is Blackjack with Michael Bolton, Bruce Kulick, and his glorious mustache. Check this one out. It's called Without Your Love.
If he would have just left Otis Redding alone and stuck with stuff like that, I could have stomached him a little bit better.
Right.
Because, I mean, that's some good vocals.
Right, and it's a solid rock song, you know, and it's not the flashy playing that you'd hear from Bruce Kulick, you know, on Asylum or Crazy Nights or anything, but it's a good solid rock song, and, you know, it fit the time in 79.
Yeah, there's an interesting... promo film of Blackjack. It's like a 10-minute long promo film with like the record company guy and everything. It's quite funny to watch.
And there's some videos available too of Blackjack playing and making actual videos, because MTV, got to remember, is right around the corner from 1979. These bands are gearing up for it. They know what's coming. So
around this
time is when videos start being, you know, really kind of concentrated on a little bit, because they're prepping for MTV. And you can see Bruce Kulick in all his mustachioed glory in these videos. And he's a hell of a guitar player, and he's our buddy, so you know, we couldn't do the show in 79 without including Bruce Kulick, you know, so.
And we hope you've enjoyed this look at the first half of 1979.
Yeah, we've got one more song coming up, but before we get to that, we want to remind everybody, of course, the phone line. You can call us up at that. It's
540-DB-GEEK-1.
That's it.
540-324-3551. I've actually memorized it.
You've got it memorized?
Now.
That's right. Wow, what a pro.
So yeah, call us and let us know what year we should do next.
Let us know the year. Let us know, you know, we're still talking about doing the request show coming up.
Yeah.
You know, it's there at your disposal for whatever you want, as well as the Facebook page. You can always find the conversation going on there. And, you know, check out all the great articles being written on our actual website, the official Decibel Geek podcast website, www.decibelgeek.com.
And I know a lot of you are going to think, well, you know, the first half of 79 had a lot of albums that you guys didn't talk about. Well, we're going to talk about some of the stuff we missed on the bonus track this week, which you can find on the Facebook page for the link. It's a SoundCloud thing we do.
It's a Facebook exclusive. So you have to like us on Facebook in order to get the link to the SoundCloud. And, you know, it's usually off the cuff. We're battling, you know,
cats coming
cats
into the window
and all that good stuff, so it's worth checking out. So get on the Facebook page, like us, become our friends, and we love you for it.
All right, well, our last track of the day was a huge hit, but
it
rocks, and we have to go out on that one.
Yeah, there's a lot of times we want to play like the backtrack stuff, the deep stuff, the stuff you haven't heard before, but I don't think in 1979 you can get away with not playing this one. They're from the United States. They're from Los Angeles. The band's called The Knack, and this is their debut album. It's called Get the Knack, and yeah, you know what song I'm talking about. It was a number one hit single in the United States. It was huge in Canada. Huge. Went 4 times platinum in Canada. Here you go. Gonna round it out today, 1979 Part 1 with My Sharona. See you next week.
See ya.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.